I am the Solemn Monster. Thank you so much for joining me here tonight, the first day of July 2020, AEW Fyter Fest Night 1. And I am also very excited because I saw the news earlier today that Beavis and Butthead are coming back. And I grew up a big Beavis and Butthead fan, and so I was very excited to hear that news, although they're coming back to Comedy Central. They're not going back to MTV. MTV has nothing of value anyway. So yes, Beavis and Butthead on their way back. Very excited. I guess in the meantime, until it returns, wrestling fans, we have our own Beavis and Butthead in Austin Aries and Low Key. So we'll have to deal with them in the meantime. But again, this is your week one Fyter Fest review. I am the Solemn Monster. Thank you again for joining me. Super chats are open. Special amounts are going to be in the description down below, so you guys can find them all down there. There's a whole bunch of them, and you'll see them popping up on screen here throughout the night. This was a big night of head-to-head competition. Obviously, over on USA Network, we have the Great American Bash. Some of you may have been watching both shows. Some of you may have only watched one or the other. But I want to know what you thought. So, on Twitter, at SolemnMonster, you can find the polls. They are open right now. Great American Bash poll, AEW Fyter Fest poll, at SolemnMonster. Please go ahead and vote. And we will check back in with you guys a little bit later on in the stream and see who you thought won the night. I am very interested to see what kind of show NXT pulled off tonight. They got the big ratings win last week. I'll be honest with you, I was kind of thinking about doing a Great American Bash recap tonight just because I was really looking forward to a couple of matches. On paper, I thought it looked a little bit stronger, but I said I can't, you know, deviate from the usual because we have a lot of AEW fans, so I didn't want to piss those people off. But I am very interested to see, you know, head-to-head, who came out on top this week. But before we get into all that, we do have some special business to transact here. And I want you guys to just take a look at this because we do have a very special 4th of July sale that is going on as we speak over on ProWrestlingTees.com. It is the 4th of July sale already happening. It's going to be taking place all the way through Saturday, which of course is July 4th. And you can get 20% off everything on the site. And yes, that includes our store. 20% off all shirts in the Sound Off store when you use the code America at checkout. And this is pretty cool here. If you go to the website right now, this is what you're going to see. You're going to see that big coupon thing. Get rid of that. And then you can scroll through the Sound Off store. And these are all the different shirts that you can choose from. We've got over 30 of them in the store. Old designs, some more recent designs. There's some, you see that team right there. You might recognize a little spin-off of that logo. Anyway, if you guys would like to get 20% off, that is the place to go. ProWrestlingTees.com/SolemnMonsterSoundsOff. For those of you who are into that sort of thing, right? Getting a little bit of a discount there. Just wanted to make you guys aware so you guys know what the deal is. So we had AEW Fyter Fest tonight. Of course, it was night one. They had the beach theme, which I think they had for last year's show as well. This one was from Daly's Place in Jacksonville, as they are every week. And they had the palm trees. They had beautiful women scantily clad in bikinis laying around by the pool. They were going for the summer theme here, which I could appreciate. Chris Jericho, he was out for commentary. And Jericho was wearing a special jacket in tribute, I guess, to today being Canada Day. So I want to say happy Canada Day to all of our listeners up in the Great White North who I know are tuning in. We have people from all over the world. Canada's no exception. So he was very jolly with today being Canada Day. We had MJF and Wardlow against Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy to open the show, or Dino Douche and Jungle Jabroni, according to MJF. MJF said that he is surprised Jungle Boy is not back home counting his daddy's money, which was kind of a harsh line. And then he said, when you're in a ratings war, you put MJF on television. So there's the first mention of there being a ratings war. But then you'll have all the people who email me who go, there's no ratings war. What do you talk about ratings for? Like, I'm the only one who talks about ratings. Now they're talking about it on the TV show. He's acknowledging a war. Now, granted, it's a war for a very small audience. This is not quite the Monday Night War, where both shows combine for like 10 million viewers a week at its peak. These two were lucky to get 1.5 million on most weeks. But, nonetheless, it is a battle between the two brands. This was an excellent opener. I honestly thought from top to bottom, tonight's show was very, very good. And they got off to a hot start with those first two matches on the show. And this was the opener here, and I thought they had an excellent match. I thought all four men in this match, Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, MJF, and Wardlow, I thought they looked great. All four guys shined here in this match. Everything clicked. The chemistry was great. I always expect to be impressed by Jungle Boy and the things that he can do. Luchasaurus, for a guy that big, he does some very impressive stuff. MJF also. MJF impressed. The last time he went one-on-one with Jungle Boy, Double or Nothing, they had an excellent match. But Wardlow, to me here, was the real standout. I have to say, I have been impressed by Wardlow. You know, he had the cage match with Cody. That was his first big match in AEW. Very good match. We've seen him in some squashes, throwing guys around, F10, spinning them in the air. Tonight, I thought, was a real, I won't say breakout night, but it was a big night for Wardlow. I kind of expected it from the other guys, not necessarily from Wardlow, and he impressed me. Highlights here were Jungle Boy hitting two rapid-fire topes out onto MJF. Third time, big dive out over the top. Wardlow headed outside, tossed Jungle Boy into the empty crowd. But he landed on his feet, gave him a kick that spun Wardlow around, and out over the top came Luchasaurus with a dive of his own. Another very cool moment in the match. All four guys are down in the ring. We had MJF with a kip up, Jungle Boy with a kip up, and then Luchasaurus with a kip up, and Wardlow with a kip. I haven't been able to pull that move off myself since high school. I haven't tried it, but you know, to see two big guys like that kip up is pretty impressive. So I thought that was pretty cool. We had Jungle Boy with a Canadian Destroyer to MJF on Canada Day. It was perfect. Wardlow with the F10 attempt to Jungle Boy countered into a Poison Rana. Wardlow grabbed poor Marco Stunt, whose only purpose, I feel like, is just to be there to be thrown around, tossed off stage, tossed over here, tossed over there. I hope he gets paid well for it. He got tossed onto Jungle Boy down on the floor. And Wardlow hit a Swanton Bomb on Luchasaurus for a two count. So for the finish, MJF, he is heading right into Wardlow. He's got the Dynamite Diamond ring on his hand. Stops short, so he doesn't collide with him, but he goes, "Can you do anything right?" Uh-oh. That's a bad sign. Signs of trouble between MJF and Wardlow. MJF ended up getting kicked into Wardlow. He hit him with the diamond ring, so he went down. And MJF got dragged out to the floor. We were left with Luchasaurus and Wardlow. Gave him a whole series of kicks. Choke slammed to Wardlow. He rose up like the Undertaker. Another kick, standing moonsault, and Luchasaurus gets the win. So the babyfaces get the win. Excellent opener. Obviously, Wardlow and MJF, they're headed towards Splitsville. It's just a matter of when. How long are they going to drag this out for? Things are not good between Wardlow and MJF. And I actually think that there is a lot of potential in Wardlow as kind of like a babyface monster. I feel like if we had crowds, and let's say MJF was chewing him out in the middle of the ring, I feel like the crowd would really be into Wardlow. So I think there could be a lot of potential there. Again, how quickly they're going to break them up, I don't know. But anyway, I thought this was excellent. I thought this was great. Now, they're advertising a puppy battle royale for next week. It's going to air, I believe, after Dynamite. I don't know if it'll be on YouTube or where it's going to be. They had a little commercial for it. It's a bunch of puppies inside a tiny wrestling ring. This is a very different puppy battle royal than the puppy battle royal we would have gotten back in the Attitude Era. That's a different kind of puppy battle royal. These were actual literal puppies in a little tiny doggy wrestling ring. I have no idea what the purpose of this is, but I suppose all the dog lovers are going to love it. They're going to lap it up. So who am I to argue? Let us see who has chimed in so far. I have neglected all of our wonderful super chatters whose support each and every week I very much appreciate. In fact, JWD was the first super chatter of the night before I even went live, like an hour ago. He sent in a super chat. $5. So thank you, my friend. Jacob Donnelly, super chatting tonight. Brian Barsoon. Howard Kroom. What's going on, Howard? Haven't heard from you in a while. Level 20 fact. Oh, my goodness. Facto tum. I hope I said that right. Anyway, thanks for the $5. As Beavis and Butthead on Comedy Central is the smart move, as their 2011 revival on MTV was terrible. Yeah, and it was short-lived, too. It kind of came and went. I didn't know if there was going to be more. So I'm very happy to hear that they are bringing it back, apparently, for two seasons. And hopefully more. Alex Bruno, Mr. Pro Wrestling, with the $15 Super Chat drop. Main event tag match, he said, was phenomenal. And we will get to more of these as we go along. Hey, Mike, in the chat. Mike says, hey. Hey, right back to you. What's going on, all my chatters? All my live chatters? It's funny, I went to go live, and I got a message from YouTube saying, unable to go live, try again. So I tried again, and then I get a blank screen. That's why I said to you at the beginning, I go, can you hear me? Can you see me? Because I, according to this, I'm not live, but I guess I am. So the reason I was worried is, and I missed part of the main event. The reason I missed part of the main event, as I'm watching the show, all of the lights in the apartment flickered. The air conditioner went off. I thought we blew a fuse. And my brother comes in and tells me that apparently a house about 3 or 4 blocks away, there was a transformer explosion in the neighborhood, only a few blocks away. So I didn't know if we were going to go out. I didn't know if I was going to be able to go live or not. So that was a little bit scary. Anyway, AEW Women's Championship match, Hikaru Shida against Penelope Ford. Right out of the gate, Aubrey Edwards, she sends Kip Sabian to the back. So he takes his kendo stick and heads to the back. And so it's left one-on-one. Shida hit the Falcon Arrow. Penelope Ford reversed into a pinfall, pinning attempt for a near fall. Shida went for a missile drop kick off the top at one point. As she came off, Penelope Ford did the old Trish Stratus Matrix move. So she bent backwards to avoid it. She bent her body back up. She hit a stunner. Very close near fall. There were a few pretty good near falls in this match. So Penelope leaves the ring. And she goes over to where the timekeeper and the announcer, not the announcers, but the timekeeper to grab the championship. As she's doing this, Kip Sabian comes back out. He's got the kendo stick, so out he comes. And he gets in the ring, and Shida ends up getting possession of it. She wallops him right in the head with this kendo stick, knocks him the F out. So he's taken out of the equation. The referee is preoccupied with Penelope Ford, tells her, put the belt down, which she does. She gets back into the ring. And back inside, hits a stunner for a near fall. Ford tries for a moonsault off the top. Nobody's in the pool. Shida moves out of the way. She takes a belly flop. And Shida hit 2 running knee strikes to the back of the head. Another Falcon Arrow. And again, Penelope Ford kicks out. Penelope Ford was like Matt Hardy in this match. She would not die, but finally 1 running knee to the head. And Shida picks up the win. This was a competitive match. It really positioned Penelope Ford as a real contender. She felt like somebody who belonged in this match. I thought this was an excellent match. This was easily the best match of Penelope Ford's career, at least in AEW. I didn't see much of her work outside of AEW, but if this wasn't her best, it was one of the best matches she's had probably in her entire life. Now imagine it in front of a full hot crowd, which just goes to show you that in the absence of live crowds, A great live crowd can take a very good match to being an excellent match, and it can take an excellent match to being a legendary match. And that's one of the things I miss about not having the real fans, not having the live audience. But I think her stock went up big time tonight. Shida is great all the time, so you know, I didn't really see anything different out of Shida that I wouldn't have expected. Penelope Ford, though, her stock went way up. I thought her stock went way up tonight. You know, I've been talking a lot about how hit and miss, or hit or miss, the women's division is in AEW, and it is. I mean, you'll have a week where it's just not that good. And every now and then there'll be a big match or a four-way, and it's pretty good, but it's very spotty. It's very inconsistent. Well, this week I think they hit a home run. I thought the first two matches on the show were awesome. Awesome. And then we got to the TNT Championship. Cody defending against Jake Hager. Hager was out with his wife, Catalina, and got involved. She got involved later in the match. Now, Brandi Rhodes was not there tonight. Brandi Rhodes, for those who don't know, I don't think they mentioned it on the show. Brandi Rhodes, her dog died. She found out earlier today. I guess her dog, Colby Jack, 16-year-old Pomeranian. She's had him for many, 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 many years. And he died, and so she was devastated, and she flew back home. And I know people are going to ask, well, wait a minute. Her dog died. You're about to go live tonight for a big TV show. What are you flying home for? I will say this. Anybody who is a pet owner, anybody who has a dog, anybody who has a cat, and I'm a former pet owner. I used to have more than one cat. Never had a dog, but any current or former pet owner would not be asking questions, would not be second-guessing her decision. I think they would completely understand. Losing a pet is one of the absolute worst feelings in the world. I don't think any pet owner is going to second-guess that. If you've never owned a pet, then you don't understand. It's just that simple. I mean, it's true. I mean, you know, the dog is dead, so what can be done? But, you know, it's devastating. You know, when you have a pet for 16 years, I mean, my cat passed away last year. We had her for over 17 years. It was like a member of the family died. I cared more about that cat than I care about most human beings. You know, animals are a part of the family. So when you lose them, it's devastating. It's absolutely devastating. So I felt bad when I heard that. But anyway, that would explain why she didn't come out when Catalina got involved here in this match. We had a figure four. Early on from Cody, Cody rolled to the outside. Hager followed him out. And there was one moment here where Hager grabbed Arn Anderson. He was kind of, I don't know, he was choking him or what he was doing. He had him up against the wall or a barrier or something. And Cody went to make the save. Hager swung around behind him, hit a released German suplex that looked like it sucked for Cody. Just threw him backwards and dumped him on the back of his head. Later in the match, Hager had Cody in a sleeper. Cody pushed off the ropes. So you know the finish, right? Bret Hart and Roddy Piper, WrestleMania 8, kicking off the ropes. Bret Hart and Steve Austin, Survivor Series 96, kicking off the ropes. Well, Cody went to do the same thing here. The only thing is, Cody, when he pushed off, he went up and he fell right down on his head. He looked like he spiked himself. But Hager held on. Hager would not release the sleeper hold. Finally, Cody hit a jawbreaker to break it up. And hit a Cody cutter after that. We got a Vader bomb from Hager for a near fall. They call it the Hager bomb. It will always be the Vader bomb. Fuck the Hager bomb. Jaeger bombs, that's fine. I have no problem with Jaeger bombs. Hager bombs, no. It's a Vader bomb. Didn't win him the match anyway. So then he tossed Cody, just flung him. He just chucked him halfway across the ring. Nobody is doubting that Jake Hager is a very physically imposing guy. He's a big guy. He's very strong. I just don't find him particularly exciting at all, which is one of the reasons I really didn't like this match all that much. But he got the ankle lock on Cody. Cody made the ropes. Referee now pulls Hager back. And Hager's wife, Catalina, she slaps Cody in the face. Which, again, normally would probably bring Brandi out or would bring Brandi over, but she wasn't there. Instead, out comes Dustin Rhodes. Not exactly Cody's wife, but, you know, nonetheless, another member of the family. And out comes Dustin, and he nails Hager. Referee didn't see it. And Cody goes for the crossroads. Hager blocks it. Urinage from Hager floats over into the head and arm choke. But as he's got him in the head and arm choke, we didn't get a good camera angle of this. Cody either, he rolled through or he just pushed up with his weight and he pinned him. Very kind of clunky pin here, but he pinned Hager. Now, Hager, the big dummy that he is, he's celebrating like he's just won some kind of big fight. He's the champion. Meanwhile, they're playing Cody's music and he's standing there like a moron celebrating for about 10 seconds. Like, what are you, deaf? Do you not hear the music? Not until the ring announcer announced Cody as the winner did he realize what, and then he was very upset. He confronted the referee. He punched the referee, knocked the referee down. A bunch of other referees came out to get him out of there. He had this look on his face like he was in Psycho Sid mode, like he had lost his composure, which he did. I mean, he punched the referee in the face, and then off he went. And Jericho on commentary is saying, well, the referee deserved it. And Jim Ross is going, Chris, come on. You can't do that. You can't punch the referee. Jericho said, well, you know, hey, he had it coming. He got what he deserved. There is a, well, I'll say this. The hot opening streak to the show came to a screeching halt at this point. I thought this was the week up to this point, the weakest thing on the entire show. Not a bad match. It was decent. I thought it was a decent match. I would not say it was anything more than that. But there is a pattern developing with Cody. There's kind of a common theme to a lot of his wins so far. I think this was his fourth defense, I believe, of the TNT title. And he barely squeaks by in these matches. Now, not the first time we've seen this. But it seems to be a recurring theme in his matches. Hardly any real dominant wins. He just kind of barely ekes by in these championship matches. But I remain unimpressed by Jake Hager. I know he's big. I know he's very athletic. I see absolutely nothing special about him. I saw nothing special about him in WWE. I saw nothing special about him, at least in terms of him being a champion. I think he was the last Lucha Underground champion. I mean, Jake Hager in Lucha Underground was just a complete mismatch anyway. But everywhere he's been, you know, I think there's a place for him on the card. But, you know, in these big matches like this, I'm just not impressed. Sorry. Maybe I'm alone on my own little island with that, but I'm just not impressed. Mr. Pro Wrestling, thank you for the earlier super chat. Again, that's my second thank you to him. Travis McDowell. Lord Frieza with the $5. Your favorite emperor is here, as per usual. And he apparently was a big fan of the show tonight. Dry Chicken Without Flavor, thank you for the support. Spanish Goddish, also dropping some support tonight. Said, Tommy Dreamer just did the promo of the year yesterday on Impact. And also, did you see EC3 posting on Instagram because it is so elite? I did not see that. I am expecting EC3 to show up at the Slammiversary show, unless you're telling me that there was some other hint that he dropped about where he might go. But no, I did not see either one of those things. A. Lavelle, thank you for the $15, man. I appreciate that. And Jared M., our old friend Jared with the $25 drop. Means the world to me, you guys. You guys are crazy. Every week, showing some love here during the stream. Let me switch on over before we'll do calls a little bit later on, but there's the number on your screen. That's for later, though. We're not there yet. We got a ways to go before we get to the calls. Don't worry about it. We had Private Party with Matt Hardy coming out to give them some words of encouragement. He's like their sensei. He's like their mentor. Private Party out for a match against Santana and Ortiz. House of Glory representing here in AEW. Boy, I do miss doing commentary. Every time I think of HOG. It's been months since we've been able to have a show. I felt like I was getting in a good rhythm. And then all of a sudden, it's been like 7 or 8 months of no shows. I'm like going stir crazy here. I hope. I don't know when, but hopefully in the not-too-distant future, we're able to get back to House of Glory business. But these are HOG alums. Every time these two teams mix it up in AEW, I smile a little bit here. And they had a good match. Orange Cassidy came out. Orange Cassidy came out with a chair. He took a seat next to the announcers. He put his feet up on the announce desk, and Jericho was flipping out. Jericho was losing his shit. Why is he here? Orange Cassidy said nothing. Had his sunglasses on. He was observing. And by him not talking, it was pissing Jericho off more and more. See, mind games. Mind games from Orange Cassidy. So, you know, with Private Party involved, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get a lot of high spots. You're going to get a lot of fast motion. That's what you got here. Isaiah Cassidy, I thought, really shined more so than anyone else in this match. Skipping ahead to the end, Santana and Ortiz, they went for the street sweeper. Mark Quinn pulled Santana's headband over his eyes. and was able to block the move. Private Party hit the gin and juice, and Mark Quinn got the pin. Not a good night for the Inner Circle. They're 0-2. Jake Hager ends up being a loser. Now Santana and Ortiz are losers. Sammy Guevara is doing sensitivity training somewhere. He's probably doing some kind of Zoom session on his computer. The Inner Circle has fallen apart here. It's all down to Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho has to win next week. He's got to beat Orange Cassidy unless Mike Tyson gets involved. If they're going to keep the Tyson thing going, I could, you know, Tyson gets involved, costs him the match, Jericho explodes. I don't know if it's going to happen, though. They've been very quiet on the Tyson stuff, although there was a Tyson mentioned by Jericho tonight, but I don't know what's going on there. But I feel like for the sake of salvaging this group, how could Jericho not win? I don't think Jericho should be losing to Orange Cassidy anyway. But that match is next week. Anyway, Jericho flipped out when the match was over. He splashed water at Orange Cassidy. He got up. He put the chair down like maybe he was going to go after Jericho. And he never did. Instead, Jericho went after him. And all Orange Cassidy did was just stood there. And these other wrestlers came out and got between them. Honestly, it made Orange Cassidy look like a puss. Because he got water thrown in his face. Jericho's insulting him the entire time. And Jericho is the one that goes after him. And all he does is just stand there like just Cool Hand Luke. And he goes walking off. Now, I guess it's all mind games and everything. He's just trying to, you know, fuck with Jericho's head. But I thought Orange Cassidy came off like a, I don't know, he came off like a loser here. Somebody threw something in my face, I'm going to go after him. But he didn't make a move. I guess he's just playing head games with Chris Jericho. Andrew Jorlog, thank you for the $20 earlier. 37th birthday for him. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day. All you Mets fans out there, happy Bobby Bonilla Day. Every single July 1st until 2035, it's going to be happy Bobby Bonilla Day. I'm sure the guy's lounging out by the pool somewhere, having some Haagen-Dazs. Who do you got in the NL East this year? Oh, I want to say the Mets, but I don't know. It's just, it's so weird, this whole abbreviated season. I don't know. I gotta look at these teams a little bit closer. Tenorio, thank you for the super chat. Tap out Nick with the $5. I'm sure Tony Khan will love the puppy battle royal. I would hope so. It's his idea. He's the one who greenlit it. I would think he likes the idea. Dry chicken without flavor. Having mixed cocktail drinks with whiskey and vodka, as others are during Fyter Fest, says, I am recovering right now. Well, have one for me. I have not had a drink in 3 weeks, but have one for me, my friend. And Slay Fox 100 Trons with the Super Chat. What will be better, the puppies or Alex Jabaley against Michael Nakazawa from last year? Probably the puppies. I'm going to go with the puppies. Then we have the main event. Kenny Omega, Hangman Page defending the AEW Tag Team titles against Best Friends, Trent's mom, Sue, drove Trent and Chuck to the building. So, like, in the last few weeks, we've seen FTR roll in, right, in their pickup truck. Cody, not too long ago, he was driving his Ford F-150. Well, into the side of the arena, here comes Mama Sue, Mama Beretta, driving the challengers into the event. Like she was dropping them off on their first day of school. She tells them, go ahead and have fun, boys. Then she calls Trent back over. You forgot to give your mom a kiss. You got to give your mom a kiss. It was the kiss of death because they didn't win. FTR walked out during the match. They had beach chairs. They took a seat next to the announcers. They were here to observe. They had beer. They brought beer. It's like that guy in the Supreme Court. I like beer. That's what I call him. I don't even know his name anymore. I always forget his name. I look at his face, and I think, that's the I like beer guy. Wonderful. What a world we live in, huh? Unbelievable. Anyway, this was the match where I said that everything was flickering, and it went off briefly, and I thought everything was going to get shut off because four blocks away, a transformer exploded. I'm not talking about Decepticons. I'm talking about an actual transformer. So I missed parts of this match, but what I saw was very good. I mean, I wouldn't have expected nothing less from these two teams. Strong zero to Hangman Page for a very close near fall. I mean, that was very close. Kenny Omega barely got inside to make the save. Hangman hit the Deadeye to Trent. Only got a two count, but then he hit the Buckshot Lariat for the win. Not really a surprise. I mean, did anybody really expect Omega and Hangman to lose the belts here? I don't think so. So they retain their titles. FTR comes down to the ring with beers to share with the champions. And they accept them, and Hangman's drinking beer. I mean, he's not one to turn down beer. I mean, come on, he's not going to turn down any alcohol. But Kenny Omega takes the beer and he pours it out. Now, you don't waste good beer. Stone Cold would give him a stunner if he saw that happening. So anyway, Young Bucks run down. They get between them. And again, I said this a while back. You don't put FTR and the Young Bucks together against each other right away. And they're doing that. They're doing the slow burn. They're going to be partners next week. They're not wrestling yet. I would think about putting the belts on FTR first. Maybe they win a few more matches. But I would do that match. I would do them against Omega and Hangman. Let them win the belts. Let that be where the real split begins with Hangman and Omega. FTR gets the belts. Now the Bucks have to go after them. The Bucks have to win the belts off FTR because you know that's what it's building to. In fact, if they were to lose the belts sometime between now and then, I would say you could even do the first match with FTR and the Bucks it all out. Maybe you drag it even longer. Maybe you wait until November. You do it at full gear. But I would actually put the belts on them. Have the Young Bucks chase them for the belts. Maybe that's why we saw the little back and forth tonight between FTR and Omega and Hangman. It's just an idea. It's just a thought. That's something I would do. Yeah, I have not forgotten about Taz's promo. I'm going to get to that in a second. But that plays into the preview for next week. So next week, it's going to be week two of Fighter Fest. It's a two-week thing. They're taping it tomorrow. It's not live like tonight was live. Next week will not be live. It will be Nyla Rose in action. Nyla Rose is going to have some kind of a surprise for us. We don't know what. I have no idea what it could be. Maybe she'll be in the puppy battle royal. I don't know. Colt Cabana, Stu Grayson, and Brody Lee of the Dark Order take on SCU in a six-man tag. Lance Archer against Joey Janela. The Lucha Bros team up with The Butcher and The Blade. I didn't see if we... Did we see any Butcher and Blade Super Chats tonight? That's the $25 one. I didn't see it. I think we did. I think I missed it. Damn it. Anyway, they're going to be partners taking on the Young Bucks and FTR. That should be quite the match. Chris Jericho, one-on-one with Orange Cassidy. And Private Party, with tonight's win over Santana and Ortiz, they will now challenge Kenny Omega and Hangman Page for the AEW Tag Team titles. That will be the new main event for night two next week of Fighter Fest because Jon Moxley is out. And we thought this might happen. Jon Moxley is still quarantining. And they are taping night two tomorrow. Well, that's not enough time. Now, I suppose what they could have done is maybe, you know, later in the week, they could, when Moxley maybe was going to be fine, fly him in, tape one match, splice it in. But that's kind of a pain in the ass, I guess. So they're not doing that. So Moxley is out. We're not getting the championship match with him and Brian Cage next week. Instead, it has been bumped back 2 weeks from tonight. It is going to be a Fight for the Fallen episode of Dynamite. And in 2 weeks, it will be Jon Moxley defending the championship against Brian Cage. Taz did come out with Brian Cage. Cage just stood there, did no talking. Taz did all the talking. And Taz came out and he talked about Moxley. You know, funny thing, Jon Moxley, you're at home. You're back home, of course. He's in Nevada. He's in Vegas with his lovely bride, who, in case you didn't see her big announcement today, Renee Young has a new cookbook coming out. She's just submitted the manuscript for a cookbook. All these people that thought, oh, she's going to announce that she's leaving WWE. Are you out of your mind? That's what she's going to hype up the announcement to say, I'm getting the hell out of here. I knew it was going to be something like that. It was going to be some new show because Backstage just got canceled, or it was going to be, I don't know, something. I didn't know it was going to be a book, but that was her big announcement. But Taz comes in, he goes, you know, I know you've been tested at home more than once, and I know your tests have come up negative. And if you had bothered to come to work, you would have been tested here as well. So then came the burn to WWE, and Taz said, here in AEW, we don't run a sloppy shop. Said Moxley has a case of the chicken shits because he's just afraid of Brian Cage. And so that's how they explained him not being available, playing into the very real-life situation, which is that Renee Young has COVID and she's still recovering. She's doing better, but she got it. Moxley's in the same house. They're living together. And he's got to quarantine. He's got to self-quarantine for 2 weeks. That's the rules. AEW plays by the rules. They test their talent. They play by the rules. That was their main event next week. And they said, nuh-uh. We're going to bump it another week. We're not going to take any chances. And that's the right call. It's the right call to make. Can't fault them for doing the right thing. And so that is the lineup for week two coming up next week. Biscuit Torpedo with the $5. What female WWE star would benefit most from a move to AEW? Well, you know, after what I saw this week, and what is her record now? 0-11? I don't know. Ruby Riott comes to mind. I mean, I could see what they're probably doing. They're going to put her together with Liv Morgan. They're going to be a team. But 0-11. Ruby Riott has yet to win a match since coming back to WWE television. I think Ruby Riott would do well in the AEW women's division. Rodimus Prime with the Super Chat. Great night of wrestling on a Wednesday. Alberto Ortiz. Jackalope music. Blissfully Random with the $3. Says the hubby and I love your podcast. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And food, man, we got a whole bunch of them here. Food Hive. Jared Hughes for the Mets has Abaddon eyes. Oh, yeah. You saw that too. Huh? That was very freaky. Wanted to play the Psycho Sid music in the background when I saw that photo. So before we move on here, I am actually very excited because this was a big week of wrestling and I want to see what you guys thought. Let's go to the polls. AEW Dynamite, the poll is up on Twitter right now. You guys can vote. 82% thumbs up for AEW so far. And just shy of 18% thumbs down in the NXT poll. Not as good. Good score, but not quite as good. 70% up and just shy of 30% thumbs down. Actually, that thumbs down is a lot higher than I thought it would be. But anyway, let's take some calls here, and we'll mix in some other thoughts as we go along, as we chug along here on this Wednesday night, Fyter Fest night. I want to talk Fyter Fest, 520.
Hi, this is Andrew from Arizona.
Hey, Andrew.
It's first-time caller.
Well, thanks for calling. I'm glad you made it through.
I was just wondering, did you see, I got a couple thoughts. What do you think if the Riot Squad went to AEW? They would get booked better?
Well, I mean, if Ruby Riott did, I don't think she can get booked any worse. I mean, 0-11, you tell me.
I guess so. And also, did you catch the Darby Allin promo?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't really impress me. I mean, we've seen videos like this the last few weeks. I like the Tony Hawk one better. Yeah, this one was just him doing all kinds of stunts tonight. They showed him, because he's still not medically cleared, I guess, in storyline, and so he's skateboarding. Was it him or somebody else who had fire on his back? Was that him?
I don't know.
Yeah, there was, like, I think he was skateboarding, and, like, he lit himself on fire or something. I don't know, but...
He's been doing videos like that on his Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, it was fine, but, I mean, I'd rather just have him back on the show and in the ring.
Yeah.
Anything else before we move on?
No, that's it. Have a safe time in New York.
Thank you.
Same thing in Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, stay safe, because especially in Arizona right now, it's, I think, scarier than it is in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, listen.
A lot of COVIDians.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely stay safe over there. And anybody listening in Texas and Florida, there's a lot of stuff going on there that isn't so fun. So if you are calling from those areas, stay in. Watch the stream. It's a lot safer. It's a lot more fun. Watch the stream. Watch the videos. Listen to the podcast. I got you covered. I'll keep you safe. Come here. Come here. I'll give you a hug. I got you. Just come into my arms. I'll take good care of you. 651.
Hello?
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 Who's this?
Can you hear me? This is Brandon from Florida, your homie.
I was just talking about Florida, so hopefully things are not quite as crazy where you are in your part of Florida.
It's getting better. Like, I know in my county, they just established all masks, like, if you're going out to public. So I think that's a good thing.
I've heard about that.
Yeah. Honestly, I didn't really get to see the show. I saw bits and bits of it. I was at work, and I just got off work. But it was really, like, from what I saw, it was a good show. And refresher, did they say the cage match is in 2 weeks?
Yeah, so the cage match is going to be in 2 weeks. I guess it's a Fight for the Fallen episode of Dynamite, and they're going to be raising money, I guess, for COVID relief, which is nice of them to do. But it's not going to be possible for Moxley to be there for the taping tomorrow, so they're going to just bump it by a week. So it's really not all that different.
Okay, I'm just going to make it short because I didn't really get to watch the show. So shout out to the boys in the chat, Turtlehead and everyone. Quick question, do you think if Dusty Rhodes was still alive, he would have jumped ship to AEW and, like, helped Cody and the crew?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, that's tough. I think, look, I don't know, I didn't know him personally to know where his head was at, but I know that he, from all accounts, loved his job in NXT and talked about his NXT kids and everything, and he was like a god there at the Performance Center. So I don't know that it's a guarantee. I think that if his deal were coming up, and AEW was a thing, I'm sure, you know, his son would love to have him in AEW. And there may have been a little bit of a bidding war, actually, for Dusty Rhodes. But I don't think it's a guarantee he would have just bailed and gone to AEW. I think 50-50. You know, I think he could have stayed at the PC. But we'll never know, unfortunately. It's too bad because wherever he would have landed, even just for, like, teaching promos and stuff, I think he would have been a huge asset to either company. But and we could have had some more cool moments like we did in WWE, the whole Rhodes family thing with the Shield, the Battleground, right? Get all three of them back together in AEW doing something. That could have been cool.
No problem. Thank you for the phone call. I'll call you guys next week and take care.
Absolutely. You too. Have a good one. Dusty Rhodes and AEW. It seems like it would have made all the sense in the world. I just don't know that he would have been in such a rush to just bail, you know, on WWE because he had he's like the godfather down there, man. I mean, you can just picture him sitting in that performance center. So, make me an offer. I'm going to teach you how to do promos. You'll learn from me. I should just puff out my cheeks when I do it. You'll learn from me. You'll learn from the best. Hard times. It's hard times. Anyway, one of the greatest promos of all time. Hard times promo. 281.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Solid Monster, this is Carlos in Texas.
Hey, Carlos.
Hey, I happen to go by another nickname. It's the Lord Frieza.
Lord Frieza. Wow, we got Lord Frieza calling. Now, you know what's funny about this is I was just talking about all the hot spots and everything in this country, everything going on right now. And it's funny, we went from an Arizona caller to a Florida caller to a Texas caller, which are like the three.
Yeah. The three hot spots, and I'm actually in one of the worst counties here in Texas that's being affected by the virus.
Oh, wow.
My wife actually just went to get tested because somebody I heard of at her job tested positive, so they sent everybody to get tested. But it came back negative, so
good.
That's good.
Thank God.
Yeah. But, I just wanted to kind of comment on the show tonight. I try to watch both shows, but I mainly watch AEW just because it caught my attention. That opening match was great. That last match was fantastic. And what was I going to say? I am a big fan of Wardlow. That guy is probably the next big thing.
Yeah, I mean, I said earlier, he really impressed me tonight. I mean, all four guys, I think, in that match shined. But the one who really impressed me the most, maybe because I wasn't really expecting it, was Wardlow.
Right, and just seeing him do those big, those high fly moves and whatnot. Now, I will say, when Luchasaurus does it, I kind of cringe a little bit, but I think it's just because he's so damn big.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's a friggin' a tower, and he's doing standing moonsaults and stuff. But, you know, I also think...
Right, and just...
Yeah, but it's weird. Somebody asked me a question. I wish I remember exactly what the context was of the question. It had to do with, like, Kevin Nash as compared to some other big guy. And I made the comment. I said, you know, just because we... Oh, it was Kane. Somebody asked me who I thought the better athlete was between Diesel and Glenn Jacobs. And I said, who was better? And I said, well, Glenn Jacobs, I think, was just the better athlete. And Kane, you know, even when he was in his other personas, he would do stuff off the top rope and stuff. And so overall, better performer, I think, than Nash. But, you know, someone like Nash is a big guy. Not all big guys have to be coming off the top rope and doing all this kind of aerial stuff. I think Luchasaurus, he's a big guy. Right. Nobody really expects him to be able to do that. And that's fine if he has a move here and there. I don't think you want to overdo it. Like Vader. Vader would do a moonsault off the top, which made your jaw drop because a guy that big shouldn't be able to do that. But we never saw Vader doing tope con hilos and all these other, like he kept it limited to that one or two like big moves. I think maybe he can come up with one or two kind of big things and just keep it to that. You know, you're a big dude. You don't have to be flying all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, he's already impressive just by his look.
But, yeah, yeah. But, so, you know, but again, but to go back to that question again, I just think Kane was a better athlete, but somebody like Kevin Nash didn't need to be doing moves off the top rope. Sid did a move off the top rope or the middle rope, and look what happened to the poor guy. You know, I mean.
Yeah, and that's exactly, that's what I think of when I see Luchasaurus kind of doing those flips and whatnot.
Yeah.
Just tweak of the knee, you know, there goes the ACL.
Yeah.
Which would suck, but.
Yeah, and he already had a knee injury not too long ago. It wasn't serious, but it kept him out, I think, for a few weeks. So anyway, I'm always impressed when I see him doing all that stuff, but I'm like you, I kind of cringe now and then because I worry one wrong landing on a guy that big and, you know, it could be bad news.
Right. But hey, man, it was nice to finally talk to you. First time calling in, and you know, I'm always donating. I'm always glad to help, and you'll see me every Wednesday.
Yeah, I hope so, man. Again, I appreciate all the support, and it was cool to get you on and call back. We'll have you back on again.
Yes, sir. Be safe.
All right. You too. So that was Lord Frieza, one of our great, suppliers. What am I thinking of? He's my supplier every week. He supplies me with the good stuff. You know what he supplies me with? He supplies me with Super Chats, which I'm going to get to a few more of them here. 561 Mexico says, I'll buy that Sting RoboCop pin off you, Salomo. We're going to do some bidding now? You want to get into a bidding war over this stuff here in my crate? That might be the thing I like the most out of the crate. You're going to have to fight me for it. KC DeMost, thank you for the $10. There's a puppy battle royal. Flashbacks to the Kennel from Hell match. Well, I wouldn't go that far. Dry chicken without flavor. Fighter Fest is like having whiskey, vodka, or cocktails. NXT Great American Bash is like having a beer and a belly. Nothing wrong with having a beer and a belly. It's the American way. That, apparently not wearing a mask. That's the American way. Khalid Adam, thank you for the $2. And JC Zephyr. With the $5, managed to receive my Ultimate Edition Becky Lynch figure today from Ringside Collectibles. Any favorite wrestling figures, Solomonster? Yeah, somebody actually made a Solomonster action figure and sent it to me. And I have it. I don't have it readily. Well, I mean, it's over here somewhere. Really what it was, it's like the Zack Ryder like body and everything. But the box is... like an illustration of me that I used to use online. So like the box is made up to be a Solomonster box. That to me is the coolest action figure of all. When you see your own action figure for the first time, I mean, come on, there's nothing better than that. You don't want someone else's action figure when you got your own. 205.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Hey. Can you hear me? Hey, what's going on? This is a freelancer from Alabama.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing too much. The first time caller too. So hey, two in a row. How about that?
Yeah, how about that? First time. Now, is it first time, long time, or how long have you been listening to the show for?
Surprisingly, it's probably gonna shock you, but I've been watching the live streams and watching the videos ever since I could. Ever since the Hell in a Cell debacle against the Seth Rollins, man.
Oh boy, I remember that. You know what? I have to say, as awful as that was October of last year. I think that was my birthday, actually. It was a horrible birthday gift. But as awful as that was, I had like 4,300 people like watching me live that night just rip that freaking main event to shreds. Like people, there's just something about when you have a really bad show or a really bad main event, people just want, I don't know if they want to commiserate with other people or what it is. I had 4,000 people that night who were just tuned into the stream, and I was losing my mind over that main event. So, hey, at least it worked out for me that night. But, yes, I would like to forget that that match ever happened.
I mean, you weren't the only one that was pretty pissed off. I mean, I've been a Bray Wyatt fan ever since, like, the NXT 2013 days. And I was like, great, he's finally going to get a chance to shine after so many years of just being buried. And then that shit happens. I'm like, oh, God, this is, oh, God.
Yeah.
But I just have one question. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. And, you know, just so you can move on to the next caller so you don't have to be too busy with me. So.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, that's cool. What do you think about this Jon Moxley versus Brian Cage match? Do you think they're actually going to put the belt on Brian, or do you think they're going to have a trilogy between him and Moxley? What do you think about that? Or how would you do that?
Well, I mean, I probably wouldn't have done it this quickly, but being that they are, I wouldn't take the title off Moxley. I think it's not the right time. I don't even know that it's the right person necessarily, although Taz has been great. You know, Cage is the silent monster.
That promo had me laughing my ass off.
Yeah, yeah. Cage is the silent monster, and Taz is as the mouthpiece, just going off. Yeah, because Taz is older and he can't, you know, do a match anymore. But the mouth still works, and so him going out there and just shitting all over people has been great. I probably would do. See, it's tough though because you know you build a big championship matchup like that to do some kind of like non-finish. It's not ideal. It's, I mean, it's not something I like. You know, the idea of doing that, but maybe do some kind of disputed finish that leads to a second match, and then Moxley wins the second match. I just don't think it's the right time, and he's the right person to take that belt off him.
Well, I mean, you also got to look. I mean, in my eyes, I mean, I like both John and Brian. So not only is it like, yeah, okay, this is a star-studded match. I get it. It looks like they're trying to pop ratings at least because, you know, they're trying to build up Brian and trying to make Moxley look strong all the time because he's like, what, the second AEW world champion now? So, but for me, I'm a mix. Like, I don't know who I want to win because, like, I like both guys. I really do. So I just don't know.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Like, I think even if Cage loses, look, if he and Moxley go to some kind of a draw or they just beat the hell out of each other and, you know, both men can't continue, and it builds to a second match and it's competitive and Cage loses, it's not the end of Cage. Right? I mean, was he going to go in there and get squashed? So as long as if he puts up a fight and in the end Moxley wins, it's not the end of the world. It would be his first loss in the company. And then he can move on to something else. So that's what I would do. But no, I would not take the title yet off Jon Moxley. Not yet. You know, I think MJF is probably next in line and maybe Omega, depending on how long Moxley holds it for. Now I don't think is the time to be doing that.
How good would a Jon Moxley versus Brian Cage no holds barred match would be? I think that would be pretty fun.
Yeah, they could do that, or they could do some kind of. I'm not a huge fan of the last man standing stipulation, as you could tell with the Edge Randy Orton match at WrestleMania. But you know, maybe a match like that for the rematch would make sense, right? If they wanted to do a stipulation like that. Well, what was the stipulation for the Moxley and Brody Lee? Was that last man standing?
I think that was just a normal match.
Was it? Okay, maybe
I didn't get to watch the pay-per-view.
Yeah, moment there, I thought maybe it was last man. I could be wrong, though. That's what I would do. I would just wait and build to a rematch and have Moxley go over.
All right. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Solo Monster. So I will definitely be checking out more videos. I just binge watched all of the videos you've done on the Dark Side of the Ring episodes, especially New Jack, because I was very interested in the New Jack episode because he's just batshit crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. He really doesn't belong in a ring, but you know, it's entertaining, I guess. So you can see why he got over.
Exactly. Well, man, have a good night.
You too. All those Dark Side of the Ring videos, by the way, and they were all like 30, 40, 50 minutes each. I mean, I did like deep dives and all that stuff. They're all up on the YouTube channel. So if you're sitting around and you're bored and you've never heard them, go back and listen to them because I think you might enjoy them. I enjoyed the show. I hope it comes back. Well, I know it's coming back. I just don't know when we're going to get season 3. By the way, I should have said this earlier. I was wondering if anybody wanted to chime in the chat, throw out a prediction. What do you think the ratings are going to be tomorrow? I'm very curious about this. You know, people are like, oh, who cares about the ratings? I'm genuinely curious how these two shows are going to match up, right? Because they both put out very strong cards on paper. They both promoted these shows like pay-per-view shows. We got the Great American Bash. We got Fighter Fest. And last week shocked the hell out of me. I didn't expect NXT to win by that kind of margin, 150,000 viewers. People did not really like what they saw on Dynamite. And on paper, NXT put together a pretty strong card tonight. Sasha Banks, Io Shirai. You know, I mean, when I heard that they added Oney Lorcan against Timothy Thatcher, I was like, sign me up. That's one of the reasons why I thought about doing an NXT review tonight. There were like three matches on that show I was really genuinely looking forward to. I think that there's a very good chance NXT wins again tonight. I would say I would give the win to NXT if I had to make a bold prediction. I would say NXT wins, both shows are up. NXT wins, I'm going to say 830,000 to 790. That would be a good night, actually, for both shows. Combined audience, that would be damn good. 830 to 790, edge to NXT, if I had to venture a guess. You guys can chime into the chat with your own thoughts. We'll find out tomorrow afternoon, I guess, when the numbers come in. Let's go to 954.
Hello?
Hello, 954.
Hello. Saul Monster, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Hi, good, thanks. Is it true that, my name's Mike, I'm from Florida. Is it true that Vicky Askew is turning 100 next week on the 11th of July?
Say that again? I didn't catch it the first time.
Vicky Askew, Vince McMahon's mother. Is she turning 100 years old July 11th?
I don't know when her birthday is, but as far as I know, I think she's 90. I think she was 99 years old. So, yeah, she probably is turning 100.
Okay. So Vince will be around forever, basically.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
Okay. That's great.
Now you've depressed everybody. Right. So, I kid.
Yeah,
sorry
about that.
I kid. We don't want anything bad to happen to Vince McMahon. We just want him to step down and retire. That's all we want. We don't want anything bad to happen to him. Well, anything else?
I hope that someday you'll sit down with Kane and learn everything there is to him about Austrian economics and then do a multi-part series on your show about Austrian economics from Kane.
Well, I watched part of
a great show and have a good day. Thank you.
I watched part of a lecture that he did. This was years ago. It was on YouTube. I don't know if it still is, on like Keynesian economics or something. And he sounds like a very smart guy, and not very smart, I think, to vote against the whole mask thing in his county. Apparently he was outnumbered. I saw some kind of vote took place in Knox County. And it's funny to me that the guy who wore a mask for a good chunk of his career is like the one guy who abstained and said no masks. I just think that's hilarious to me. But anyway, yeah, Vince McMahon's mother, whatever her birthday may be, is, I think, nearing 100 years old. So he's got those genes. He's got those genetics in his family. All these people saying, oh, Vince McMahon, he's getting up there in years. Hey, Vince McMahon, if he lives to be that long, he's like in his 30s right now. 75 years old he'll be in August, and the guy feels like he's 30 years old. He can go another 30, 40 years in the chair. Paul Levesque will be walking around in a walker while Vince McMahon will still have the book. He'll still be in those creative meetings in the back. Yeah, I pointed out to somebody on the podcast that I did on Sunday because you can get the full shows of the Solid Monster Sounds off every Sunday on iTunes and Stitcher and Spotify and all those platforms. But episode, if I don't miss any shows between now and the end of August, episode 666, The Mark of the Beast, episode 666 of the Sound Off, is the weekend of Vince McMahon's 75th birthday. Basically, episode 666 falls on Vince McMahon's birthday. I didn't time it that way. It just sort of happened, and I just think it is so appropriate. I could not have timed that any better. That's going to be quite the episode. I haven't figured out yet what I'm going to do. I got to do something special for that one. Maybe I'll talk in tongues for the episode. 845.
Hey, Solid Monster, what's going on?
What's going on?
From Rockland County. What's up, man? And I just watched Fyter Fest. I missed the opening match, though, and I missed a review of that. How was that, Wardlow?
Oh, you missed probably the best match of the night, or one of the best matches. You got to go back and watch it. That was an excellent opener.
Yeah, I really liked the main event. Man, that was pretty good. I was digging that, but... Now, I just wanted to call and say I like your idea about FTR going against Hangman and Omega first before you go to the Bucks, and I like how you make that be the way to have the turn. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean it's just what they've done so far with the two teams is it's kind of like. Both teams think that they're the best team in the world, right? It's this competitive, I say jealousy, but yeah, obviously there's like a professional competition between the two teams. So I like the idea that FTR wins the AEW tag team titles before the Young Bucks do. And it's like their company. Mm-hmm. So it's like another little needle in the side, like, hey, look what we did. And you guys haven't even done this yet. And then eventually when they wrestle, there's something on
just
the line.
Build
yeah. Yeah. And honestly, the titles, if these two teams are considered the two best teams in the world, that's what they call themselves, then it should be contested for the tag team titles. It should be your two. Yeah, it should be your two best teams. Absolutely.
Man, no, I definitely agree with that. But what else are they going to say? Now, it's sort of a back and forth, the Great American Bash and this, and honestly... I don't know, Firefly wasn't the best show in the world.
Yeah, well, I'm going to, let me ask you this, without giving away any spoilers, because I haven't seen it yet, if you've seen both shows or parts of both shows, your overall opinion on who won the night?
Who won the night?
From what you saw.
I mean, I was watching more Fyter Fest, so I'd say Fyter Fest.
All right.
But...
All right. Well, then
I was watching from Great American Bash as well.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I'll watch tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to seeing who had the better night. But on paper, I thought on paper the NXT show was looking maybe a little bit better going into tonight. So
I don't know. Next week's a whole other story. I don't know about next week.
Yeah, next week will be the big. Winner take all match on NXT, and now there is no AEW title match next week. That's in 2 weeks.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't even know what else is on the Great American Bash next week. The main event, obviously, but I don't even know what other matches they're doing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would assume maybe a women's title match, depending on who won the 4-way tonight. You know, the winner goes on to challenge EO. I don't know if that's next week or if that's a takeover, but I would imagine probably next week. So we'll see. I'm gonna tune in tomorrow morning and get caught up on everything. Anything else before we move on here?
Nah, go ahead, brother.
Awesome. All right, well, listen, thank you for the call, and call back again next week.
You have a good night.
All right, you too. So I'm looking forward to that. Gives me something to look forward to now tomorrow when I have so many things to catch up on. I have so many shows and stuff. I haven't watched any of the New Japan Cup. It's been going on for like a week. I haven't had the chance to watch any of it. I was looking forward to, although I did see that Sonata has moved on. So I'm hopeful that my Sonata prediction may come true, but he's not quite there yet. He hasn't won anything yet, but I am hopeful. Let's go to 214.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, Solomon?
What's going on?
Hey, this is a boy. It's Food Hive, actually.
Food Hive. I see your name in the Super Chats every single week, Food Hive.
Yeah. Yeah, man, you know, got to show love to the sound. I'll say what up to the chat.
I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. You get no complaints out of me.
Wow, yeah, man. Hey, I just had one question for you.
Sure.
Well, it's not a question. I just have a statement.
Mm-hmm.
I miss the elite acting like the elite. I really do. Like, they don't act the same anymore. Like, I know Cody's barely with them anymore. And I just miss them like they were in New Japan. And, you know, like, it's just like they're putting over everybody else. And I get it. It's just making them look weak. Like, the Young Bucks are losing all the time. Like, I just, you know.
Well, I mean, it's like all the people.
I miss them being elite.
Yeah, it's like a lot of the same complaints I've heard from people about Kenny Omega. This is not the Kenny Omega I want. This is not the Kenny Omega I remember. And I just tell these people, I agree, but I think they're playing the long game. And once this whole team with him and Hangman dissolves, I think we'll probably start to get back to that version of you know, Omega. But you're not going to get the same Kenny Omega that you got in New Japan. It's just two different products and two, I mean, honestly, not taking anything away from the talent in AEW, but, you know, the guys that Omega was facing off with in those 30, 40-minute classics in New Japan, they're not here, right? I mean, the Okadas and Tanahashis and Ibushis, they're not here. So I think people are just going to have to get used to the fact that it's not going to be the same guy, but I think he'll have his run. He's going to challenge for the championship, I think, once the split happens. It may not happen until next year, but you just got to be patient sometimes.
Oh yeah, I'm patiently waiting on my squad to act like the squad, because they are the reason I even watch wrestling now. I just like started watching Being the Elite, like I say, about a year and a half ago, and then I just started watching wrestling outside of WWE. And like, they're the reason, like, I watch every Wednesday. They're the reason I listen to you every Wednesday, sir.
Yeah, and I don't know how much longer your squad is going to be together if my thoughts on Cody it comes true and Cody goes heel, which I still think is going to happen. But, you know, who knows? We'll see.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, heel Hangman and a heel Cody. This is going to be great.
Heel Cody. We could have a new four horsemen going on. You never know.
Oh, yeah, well, I'll see how it goes. I trust. Well, I have at least enough trust in the product to give me something I'll enjoy, so it doesn't matter.
At the end of the day, that's the most important thing. Do you enjoy the show or do you not enjoy the show? And as long as you enjoy the show, then the rest is gravy, right? Especially after what we sit through on Monday nights.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you sit through on
what
Monday
I sit
night.
Through. Thank you. I apologize. What I sit through on Monday nights. For you, by the way, I'm just saying. You're welcome.
All right. Hey, man, thank you, man. First-time caller, man. First-time caller.
Man, I'm hearing a lot of first-time callers tonight, but you're here every week, so I feel like you're just part of the family here. So you're always welcome to call back.
All right, man. Join the Dark Order.
Oh, I will. Join Dark Order, everybody. Join Dark Order so I don't have to. I think we have a call here from, I think this might be Puerto Rico. Is this Puerto Rico?
Hey, Jason, how you doing?
Good. Who am I talking to?
Yeah, I'm Wesley Jamil from the Sound Off Group. I usually listen to your show every week, and I really enjoy it, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Been listening for years.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question, because I'm not enjoying the show the last 2 weeks, I think. And I think the problem with the shows is that when I see the opponents, for example, Cody today, Jake Hager didn't have a chance, and Penelope didn't have a chance. And when I see these guys, it's like, well, is it too predictable in the sense that it could be predictable, and predictable is not bad for wrestling, but it's too predictable hurting the product? I don't understand. I don't think you understand what I'm trying to say, or.
Well, so let me just clarify, though. When you say you haven't really enjoyed the last 2 weeks as much, you're talking AEW, right? Not,
yes.
Not NXT?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't watch NXT. NXT is all over the place right now.
Was there...
But AEW, like, for example, when I saw Brody Lee versus Moxley,
mm-hmm.
like, I didn't think Brody Lee had a chance. Like, I didn't buy him as a title contender. When I saw the Best Friends today, I didn't buy them as title contenders. And the same thing with Keith Sabian and Jimmy Havoc, and the same thing with Dustin and QT Marshall against Omega and Hammond. It's like the same formula lately. Like, Mark went with Cody. I didn't buy that either. Like, I know they're trying to tell a story and all that, but...
Yeah, I mean, that bothered me.
They're playing the same card too much.
That bothered me less just because... I looked at that like the whole Cena U.S. title open challenge thing where they're just trying to get some new
right.
kind of new faces, young faces in there. No, I don't think anybody expected him to win. Just like when Ricky Starks, right? When Ricky Starks debuted a few weeks ago, nobody
exactly.
expected him to win. But to see him in there with Cody and giving him a competitive match on his first night in, he lost, but in a way he kind of won. That I don't mind. I agree with you. Some of these other tag team matches... Even the Sabian Jimmy Havoc team, it just felt thrown together. Like, why are these two tag team partners? There's nothing about their characters that even remotely relates to each other. Now, maybe there was stuff on Dark
exactly.
that I didn't see that explained it better, but I agree. I mean, there are a lot of matches like that where you kind of know the outcome going in. But look, the card they were dealt with, the whole COVID thing, that's why Brody Lee got the shot at Double or Nothing. I think, I forgot where I read it, but it might have been Cody. Whoa. But
yeah.
I think it was Cody who said
There's
that.
My dog's over there. I'm sorry.
I can tell. I thought that was you for a second, but I thought it's...
Yeah, I got three.
He said that a Double or Nothing, though, like nothing too big really changed outside of their plans for the main event. So that's why it just... I said the same thing. It just felt very thrown together. I didn't buy him being in that role. So yeah, I agree with you on some of that stuff, but you know, again, they got to do week to week TV. They got to come up with matches to do without giving their biggest matches away. And so that's why we end up with some of these makeshift teams, Dustin and QT Marshall. It's like, doesn't do anything for me.
And then, you know, like Arn is like, well, Hager can beat, Cody can beat Hager and he's not ready for Hager. I'm like, dude, he just beat Lance Archer. Like, I'd rather face Hager. I'm sorry. I know he's a Bellator fighter and all that, and he's undefeated, but,
yeah.
I mean, just look at Archer, man. Like, he's a beast.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I think playing the same card could hurt them in the long run. He's hurting them already.
Yeah. But, yeah. Well, look, I mean, you got some valid claims there, but was there... I mean, as far as tonight, so you didn't really enjoy the show tonight either?
Well, I enjoyed the first match
okay.
with Warlow and MJF. Mm-hmm. I told that Penelope really didn't have a chance with Hikaru, but I was willing to give it a shot because it was fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see that division, it's pretty hard to just pick opponents there.
Yeah, and
but then it's like, it's hard. It got harder. You know, when I saw the Cody and Hager, that was hard to watch for me. And that ending makes no sense. Like, but
yeah,
like,
I didn't like that either.
They're trying to tell that story.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that either. So hopefully the Hager thing is over and we don't get a rematch or anything because Hager thought he won and now we get a rematch. I don't need to see the rematch. Cody won. Bye bye. Back to the back of the line with you. That's hopefully where he goes. But any other quick thoughts here before we move along?
No, thank you, Jason, for taking my call, and have a great night.
Awesome, you too, and I'll see you around in the group. You are a survivor, and everybody who's in our Facebook group, if you are, I call them survivors because they have to put up with a lot of shit sometimes, but I think it's better than it used to be. Let's go to 817. If I can get this to work, this might be another Texas caller. Is this Texas?
Yeah, Jim's from Texas. Just had a couple comments for you and just kind of wanted to see what you said building on what Cody's doing. Do you think he's just, you know, I've watched and listened to you for 10 years and I just, I don't see where this TNT championship's going. Like you said, he looks weak. You know, that tag team is with Hangman and Omega. I know you've been talking about a little bit. Don't you think you have to break them up so you can actually use those guys in singles competition? And respect everything you do, man. I'll hang up and listen to you. Keep doing great out there.
Thank you. I appreciate that, man. 10 years is a long time. It's one of our long times. Yeah, I think, look, it seems obvious to me. They haven't really played up the dissension in recent weeks between Hangman and Omega. I don't think they dropped it. I just think they're taking their time with it. Obviously, the split is coming. It's just in a matter of probably the next few months, couple of months maybe. They're just kind of doing the slow burn with them. That team is going to break up. Hangman's going to venture off on his own. Omega's going to go off on his own and do his thing. And you'll have two big names back in the singles ranks. Hangman, I think, is just a huge star in the making for that company. You know, and obviously, if they get to a point where they can get fans back in the buildings, you'll hear the reactions to him. That's what kills me about this, is that him and Darby, in front of that audience, they were as hot as they've been, and then everything just went to hell, and it really has hurt both of them. And hopefully, once things start to maybe get back to normal, even though it probably won't be for a while yet, they'll come off as even bigger stars than they are right now. The split's coming. I don't think we're going to have to wait too much longer for it, but I agree. I think there's a lot of value in both of them as single stars on that roster. I wanted to acknowledge just Rican Sun, also with the happy Bobby Bonilla Day. But George Romani, thank you very much. I saw it come in before the Hulkamania Super Chat. $50. The $50 drop from George. Says, you always hit a grand slam on your YouTube channel, and I have two words for you. Thank you. Well, I have two words for you. They were the same two words. So now I'm just repeating what you said. But that means a lot. That means a lot. You are, by the way, the biggest Super Chat of the night so far. So, again, thank you for that. Let's take a few more calls. I think we're good for a handful more. Let's go out west. Let's go to 323.
Hello?
Hello, 323.
Oh, sorry. I shouldn't curse.
That's
here. Wow,
okay.
I'm actually on here.
That's okay.
Wow, dude.
Come on down. You're on The Price is Right. You're the next contestant.
Well, okay. Wow. I'm actually lost for words here.
You forgot his question.
I remember one concern. Yeah. It is AWA. Time to start here. So my question was, it is related to AW, but also slightly to AWA. Not to take away attention from tonight, but seeing as how a lot of people who were released a couple months ago, some people, sorry, some fans have
breathe, take a breath,
wanting guys,
breathe in, breathe out. As DDP tells me when I do my DDP yoga, deep breath, exhale, down dog,
I'll definitely be broken table.
I'm sorry. I'm lapsing into my yoga sessions now. I'm sorry.
It's all good, man. I'll definitely try it out. I got asthma, so. I'm sorry. My question was, so with guys like EC3 and Rusev and so on and so forth, there's been a lot of fanfare for those guys to come into an AEW. And I was just wondering to get your thoughts, because I'm sure they don't want to have the stigma of being the company that signs all the former WWE guys like TNA used to have.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's a case with them that they're just waiting for that stigma to wear off and then they'll pick them up later on? Or is it just a lack of interest for them?
Well, I mean, so far it's been more the non-compete. Nobody can sign until I think mid-July is when those non-competes are going to be up. That's why you're hearing all these rumors about the Impact pay-per-view on the 18th. There's no doubt some of those WWE guys are going to Impact. I mean, I think Anderson and Gallows for sure are going to Impact. Supposedly they have a deal already signed and that allows them to go to New Japan once they're able to go back to New Japan. So they're, I think, going there. Heath Slater has been teasing something for July 18th, which happens to be the night of the Slammiversary show. I think does Rhino still work for Impact? I think he does. So I can see Heath Slater.
Yeah, I think he's still there.
Yeah, yeah. So I can see Heath Slater showing up, even if it's just for one night, him and Rhino maybe together or something. Rusev, Leo Rush, EC3. You know, I don't know what Leo Rush is doing. Leo Rush, I think, wasn't he saying like he was done wrestling, which is bullshit. I'm sure he'll be back at some point. I don't know what his plans are in the meantime. EC3, I would think, is going to go to Impact. I mean, that's where he made his name. They could use him right now. They have no world champion. They could put him right back in. They could put the world title right back on him on his first night in if they wanted to at that pay-per-view.
I'm down for that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to complain.
Look, I wouldn't complain either. I mean, look, I don't watch Impact anymore, so I don't really give a shit. But for him, I think it would be great for him, though. Rusev, mm-hmm. Rusev's the one who, if I'm AEW, I'm going after him. I feel like he's just such an entertaining guy. I'm not talking about what he did when he first came into WWE, Machka, and, you know, the old foreign heel. Like, heel, face, whatever role you think is good for him, he's such an entertaining guy that I think AEW could easily plug him in somewhere. It doesn't have to be main event, but they could plug him in somewhere, and I think he could definitely contribute in that company. So I think of all those guys, Rusev is the one at the top of my list who I would like to see AEW, you know, really go after. Who else is there that I didn't mention? I feel like I'm forgetting people. Ryder, right? Zack Ryder.
Yeah, there you go.
Zack Ryder
definitely
is
not Kurt Angle.
No, not Kurt Angle. I guess Hawkins and Ryder. I don't know about Hawkins. Ryder, I know, is really buddy buddy with Cody. I would be kind of surprised if we don't see Zack Ryder. Actually, you know what? I would be surprised if we don't see Zack Ryder show up as one of the mystery TNT title challengers in a few weeks.
Yeah, that could be a thing too. I think that'd be pretty neat. I think it might be a double edged sword though, because I feel like, based off how Ryder and Hawkins are connected, I feel like if you get one, you kind of have to get the other. At least for if you're in AEW.
Yeah, you know,
I could be wrong. This,
yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean, you don't have to, but I suppose. look, they have a big tag team division, and if they want to beef it up a little bit more, instead of putting these makeshift teams together like Sabian and Jimmy Havoc and QT Marshall and Dustin Rhodes, then yeah, you couldn't go wrong with Hawkins and Ryder. But I don't know. I mean, they brought in FTR. And I feel like if they bring in Hawkins and Ryder as a team, it's just, I don't know, you bring it in the job squad. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's just kind of what it feels like to me. Ryder on his own could maybe in the mid-card have some juice, possibly. So I would maybe consider that. But I think Rusev for sure would be at the top of my acquisition list.
All right, and I don't want to take up too much of your time. Thank you very much. Been a big fan of the show. Just one last thing. I posted something on the Facebook group. Yes, I know it's toxic sometimes, but I just want to ask, are you a time-traveling Benjamin Button? Because I posted something that got around like 200 likes of, I believe, an old SmackDown taping with one of those paramedics that looks strikingly resembles you, or maybe you're young Brian Danielson. I don't know. Could be you.
Yeah.
And again, almost everyone looks like you. So.
I only got like 38 tweets about this the other day. I was tagged in apparently in another life. I was a paramedic. This is some other career I was not aware of. Apparently, well, don't come to me and ask me to do the Heimlich or anything like that, or give you CPR, because I might not know what I'm doing. But yes, apparently in another life, I was a paramedic, because Brian Danielson many years ago, I think it was on Raw, was a paramedic. He was an extra. And I got so many tweets that you would not even believe it. Is that Solomonster? How come Solomonster was on Raw and he didn't tell us? What year is this from? Young Solomonster on Monday Night Raw. And I say it all the time. You know, when it comes to Danielson, when it comes to Orange Cassidy, Jake Hager of all people. I don't even like Jake Hager. And I had people comparing me to Jake Hager. You look like Jake Hager. I apparently look like every white man in America, if these people are to be believed.
But don't forget about what Kofi said. You look like, he said you look like John Laurinaitis.
Yes, and Kofi Kingston.
Am I correct on that? Yeah.
Yes, yeah, that son of a bitch. Kofi Kingston. there I am interviewing him one year at WrestleMania, and he sits down and he has the audacity. It's on the podcast, actually. He has the audacity to say, you know, you kind of do look like John Laurinaitis a little bit. My heart was broken at that point. Of all the people to compare me to, John Laurinaitis. So you're going to tell me I sound like John Laurinaitis too. I don't sound like people power.
Oh, no.
People power.
Oh, man, that's just cursed.
All right, well, listen, on that note, let's we'll move things along here. But thank you for the call. I do appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Have a great night.
Right, you too. People power. Actually, on a more serious note, I want to actually send thoughts and a shout out to John Laurinaitis and the whole Bella family. Apparently, his wife, who is the mother of Nikki and Brie, is the mother-in-law of Brian Danielson. They're all connected, one big family. But she underwent brain surgery earlier today. I guess she was not feeling well, and they thought that she had Bell's palsy. And it turned out it wasn't Bell's palsy. It was like a tumor, a mass on her brain stem. So she underwent brain surgery, I think, earlier today. And I know Laurinaitis was posting on social media, on his Instagram or whatever. You know, he had the mask on. He was in the hospital. And I guess the surgery went well, and now she's recovering. And that's, I mean, that's got to be quite the shock for that family. So on a more serious note, hopefully everything works out well with Mama Bella, and hopefully she is okay. 416.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey.
Before I get to my question, can we get a Canada Day shout-out from the Solid Monster?
Happy Canada Day! Is there, like, a song? Should I sing a song? What song should I sing?
Any. It's up to you.
Well, I mean, it has to be appropriate for Canada Day. I mean, I don't want to just sing you know, Thriller by Michael Jackson. That would make no sense.
I'm just kidding. It's all good. Thank you. I just wanted to ask, Abaddon or Soo Young?
I'm not, you know, I've seen a little bit of Soo Young. I've not seen a lot of Soo Young, so I can't really, that one Abaddon appearance made such an impression on me. I'd go Abaddon, but that's literally the only time I've ever seen Abaddon. So I don't exactly have a huge body of work that I'm working off of. I'd have to see more of both of them.
And what do you think the reason is for WWE not having any sort of like supernatural or zombie-like female characters on a roster? Is it maybe because of the PG product? You know, someone like a Soo Young or Rosemary or someone like that. Is it because of maybe the sponsors might crack down on them, or what's the case with that?
No, I don't think it has anything to do with that at all. I just think, I mean, those women you mentioned, either maybe they weren't available or they just weren't interested. I don't think they're against the idea. Like, I'll say this much. Abaddon was scary. So when she came out, if I'm a young viewer, I mean, I'm not as young as I used to be, and I watch things like The Walking Dead, and it's just not something I expect to see on a wrestling show. So when she first came out, I was, like, taken aback. Now imagine if you have a kid who's, like, 10 years old or 8 years old watching the show. They'd be shitting their pants. So I could see someone with that kind of makeup job that they wouldn't, you know, want to go in that direction. But I don't think that they would be against the idea of having like a dark female character. It's just not something that we've seen. Yeah, in WWE, they have a certain image, I think, of what a lot of these women are supposed to look like. And now we're at least starting to see women that don't all look the same. Ruby Riott and Mandy Rose, for example, could not possibly look any different, okay? And I like that. I like the fact that not everybody looks the same like they did 10, 12 years ago on the roster. I think that's a good thing. I think if the right person came along, I don't think they would be against the idea of having a gimmick like that, but like a zombie gimmick. Maybe they just don't want to go with the unrealistic stuff like they used to do. Maybe they want something a little more realistic. Can't put somebody maybe like that. You can't put somebody like that on Total Divas, right? Abaddon on Total Divas would be that would be like a nice sketch on like a comedy show. Joining the cast of Total Bellas this year, Abaddon, and she comes crawling into the room or something. Like that would actually be fucking hilarious. But it just doesn't fit the mold of what WWE likes to promote with their women. So that's probably why we have not seen it. 202.
Oh, hi, Solid Monster. This is me, Charles, calling for the first time.
Another first-time caller. I love it.
So I have several questions. First of all, I know that Darby Allin might not be. Darby Allin had some allegations regarding to his mental abuse of his former girlfriends or something. Not sure when he's coming back.
I don't think that has anything to do with him being gone, because he's still on TV. So whatever that was, either it didn't rise to the level of anything that the company, you know, thought was punishable, or it was bullshit. I never really got a clear answer on where that came from. So I just chalk his absence from television up to him not being cleared. We saw him on the show tonight. He was skateboarding around. I mean, if there was anything serious, he would not be on the show.
Well, this goes back to your previous comment about how the TNT title was building for Cody Rhodes to lose to Darby.
Mm-hmm.
And if Darby is not the one to capture it eventually, who would it be?
I'd have to take a bigger picture look at the roster. I mean, nobody else really jumps out at me. We already saw Jungle Boy. MJF seems like he's going after the world title, not the TNT title. He's already beaten Cody. I don't see him being the one to beat Cody for it. It also depends if Cody goes heel. If Cody goes heel, it opens up a whole other plethora of different possibilities in terms of opponents, you know, that he could get in the ring with and potentially lose the championship to. Darby, to me, is the one who makes the most sense. If Hangman, for example, and Kenny Omega do finally split, and Hangman, let's say, is not going to go compete for the world championship, who's to say that heel Cody Rhodes doesn't drop the title to babyface Hangman Page? So it's hard for me to sit here and pick another name because there's so many different variables here. Right now, Darby seems to be the pick to me that makes the most sense. It could be a Hangman. You know, it could be somebody like that. He's not losing the belt for a while, though, so a lot can change between now and then.
Yeah, I think if Cody turns heel, it would eventually set him on a path to win the world title sometime soon. To
Cody? You're talking about Cody?
Yes.
Well, there's got to be, but you have the same problem you had before. You've got to come up with a storyline explanation. How is Cody getting a championship match when he is supposed to be barred from being able to get a world title match? They still have to come up with a way to explain that. The whole point of the TNT title, I thought, was to give him something to hold on to for a while until next year, let's say, when they get to a point in their storylines where they will come up with some kind of explanation. Maybe Cody has to fight he has to win a battle royal or something to, you know, finally earn the right to get a world title match. The TNT title is sort of like, okay, he can't compete for this, so we'll put this on him. So he could hold this thing for another 6 months, 8 months, who knows? You know, it's going to be a while, I think, before he drops it.
That makes sense. Another question, my last question is that, considering the coronavirus is still plaguing the country and how, you know, people cannot go into, you know, big gatherings, if this goes on through next year, how would you see that affect AEW in terms of its business and its viability as a up and coming wrestling company?
Good question. I think the longer this goes on for, it hurts everybody. First of all, it's going to kill the independent scene, which is already struggling enough as it is. There are some independent promotions who are running shows now, but you know, you got to take very particular precautions, and not as many people are coming out. The longer it goes on for, it's going to just kill off the independent industry. It's going to hurt WWE. It's going to hurt everybody, but it will hurt AEW more. Because AEW, I think, maybe even more than WWE, frankly, is very reliant on those audiences and the feedback from the audiences, which make the show feel like a bigger deal than it feels now without the fans. It really has hurt. And to their credit, they have found a way on most weeks to keep Dynamite a very good show and keep my interest in the show. There are some weeks where I don't think the show is as good, but by and large, I still enjoy Dynamite, for example, way more than I enjoy Raw and SmackDown on most weeks. And I would even say the same for NXT. It's not just an AEW thing. Raw and SmackDown are just, don't get me started. But AEW is in real trouble if, let's say, we get to a point where, if for whatever reason they had to stop doing shows, TNT turns around, let's say, and says, oh, you're not doing shows anymore, well, we're going to pull out of our deal. That's it. Without that contract, AEW is dead. Now, if WWE were to lose the deal with Fox, or if they were to lose the deal with NBC, it would be a huge hit. A lot of people would lose their jobs, but WWE is big enough, they would go on. They would survive. AEW can't survive. So they have to put the content out and please TNT. And the longer this drags on for, it just becomes harder. You know, they have a system in place right now where they're running shows and they're testing, and hopefully they can just continue to do shows the way they're doing them. Nobody wants to see AEW die off. Competition is a good thing. AEW had a great thing going before all of this happened. They were packing buildings. They were about to have their biggest show ever in Newark at the end of March, and it didn't happen. And it sucks, but that's life, right? Everybody's going through this right now. All the companies are in the same boat. AEW, though, it's I think, hitting them a little bit harder, maybe, than most. There's a huge element to this show now that is missing that I think they really need. And there's just no telling when they're going to be able to get that back. And it sucks. You know, wrestling in front of empty crowds sucks. I don't know what to say. And that doesn't mean that we don't have good shows. I'm just saying in general, you got to have wrestling fans at a wrestling show. I mean, it's just these shows, nobody wants to see these shows for the next 3 years. I can't imagine three more years of this or two more years of this. I can't imagine another 18 months of this. But it could be a reality we have to face. I would expect lower capacity crowds at some point, but who knows? Every day it's something new. Things start to open, they pull back. Who the hell knows? It could be another year of this. I hope not. Especially with Raw. I am slowly losing my sanity. By the way, somebody mentioned, I was not going to mention it tonight, but you're absolutely right that tomorrow is a very special day. Tomorrow is the birthday of Bret the Hitman Hart. And it's funny because today I saw Sean Waltman posted on Twitter. Posted a screenshot from him hugging Bret after their match on Raw back in 94. It was July 1st, I believe, 1994. So what was it, 16 years ago today, one of the greatest matches in Raw history, Bret Hart against the 1-2-3 Kid. And he thanked Bret in the tweet for giving him the greatest match of his life. That's pretty cool. And even he admits, you know, he goes, "You gave me the best match of my career. I can't thank you enough. It was a great match." It was a great match. And anybody who ever doubts what I say about Bret Hart, when I sing the praises of Bret Hart and what a master he was and what he did and why he's my personal favorite of all time, that match is just one, it's in the top, probably the top three of like examples I would show people. Like, go watch that match. Watch the match. Watch Bret's like facial, you know, reactions when the kid is really showing him up and stuff, especially early in the match. The near falls. It's just a work of art. It's a work of art. So anyway, happy early birthday to my all-time favorite. Bret the Hitman Hart turns 63 years old tomorrow. 63 years old. It's hard to believe. What do you think, Jared? What do you think about Bret the Hitman Hart turning 63 years old tomorrow?
You know, Jason, Bret is one of my favorites, too, besides Hulk. That's what I grew up on. And I have a little group of friends that are Bret haters. They think that his career started in late 97. They forget about everything else.
I was wrong. Yeah, people corrected me in the chat. It was not 16 years ago. In fact, it was 26 years ago. That's a big difference. So thank you for
it
the correction.
1994. It was July 1994.
It was not 16. Yes, yeah, I had it wrong. Correct.
And I can watch that match over and over again. That match was one of the best matches in Raw history.
Easily. I think I did a top 30 Raw moments on the show many years ago.
Yeah.
I think it was like episode 229 or something like that. And I'm pretty sure that was, I mean, it had to be on my list. It's easily one of the best matches in Raw history.
Yeah. Jason, I just read on one of the websites, you don't promote it, but Brian Pillman Jr. was one of the people in the crowd tonight at AEW.
I'm not surprised. I could have sworn he was in the crowd once before. Maybe not, but I don't know if that means anything. He's with MLW.
I'm just mentioning it.
Yeah, I know he's with MLW. Yes, yeah. I think at some point, you know, he's another one who I have seen a little bit of him. It's scary, though, how much he looks like his father. Like, when I look at him. Yeah, it's like,
scary.
Wow.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's another one to watch for. I think he'd be a good pickup if he ever becomes, you know, available at some point.
Jason, you know I'm a huge AEW fan, and I'd probably never switch the channel back to NXT. I usually watch, like, I'll watch it either on a Thursday or Friday, NXT to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
But opening match, closing match was great tonight on AEW. I think Wardlow has a great future as a big-time babyface, like a Diesel or a Kane from back in the day. And I love the thing with the FTR, Kenny pouring out the beer and everything else like that. But the thing, Jake Hager, I'm sorry. I just don't see it anymore. I think they buried him. I mean, this guy's supposed to be this monster here in this group. And just feel like he's lost to Moxley, he's lost to Cody. And doesn't seem too intimidating to me.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the dirty little secret. I'll let you in on a little secret.
Yeah.
The dirty little secret is that he was never at that level to begin with. So
no, he wasn't.
To me, when I see him losing to Jon Moxley and I see him losing to Cody, and I would say he's buried. I mean, he thought he won the match, right? It was almost like a fluky finish they did tonight.
Yeah.
But you're right, he lost.
He looked like an idiot doing his part.
And he looked like a moron because the music was... He must be deaf. I mean, I hope he gets his hearing checked. But losing to these guys doesn't faze me because I don't see... Him as world champion, for example, I mean, if he were to beat these guys, look at the talent that they have on that roster. He doesn't belong in that spot anyway because they have people who are better than him in the company. I think him being brought in as Chris Jericho's heavy when they first brought him in, that was the perfect role for him. He was the silent guy who stood there. He was the muscle. He could be part of these six-man, eight-man tags. Him challenging for the TNT title, okay, fine. But you've got a company with Lance Archer. You've got a company with guys like Wardlow and Luchasaurus, big guys who are on their way up. You've got the top guys like Moxley and Omega. MJF is on his way up. There's no room for a guy like Hager to be hanging with those guys in the top five or six. So he's right where he belongs.
Absolutely agree.
Right where he belongs.
Absolutely agree. And I agree with you on the Cage-Moxley feud. This thing needs to go 3-4 matches. Moxley just can't beat him and just forget about him like you did with Brody Lee.
Yeah,
I know they were stuck in a jam there. I think they need to.
I don't know that it needs to go 3 or 4, maybe 2. Two or 3 at the most. I don't think it needs to go 3 or 4.
Okay. I'm just saying, but I just love the Taz, the promos. It just brings me back to 1998. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But, tonight, usually I'm very excited for AEW. I was very excited for the opening match and I wanted to switch that channel to NXT, but, you know, I stayed loyal. And I think the ratings, I was shocked by the ratings last week, and I think NXT wins again tomorrow. I think it's going to be a little bit closer, but I think NXT wins tomorrow. They're putting their, you know, their top level players, their Raw or SmackDown, you know, people on that show. And, you know, I think they had a better build up to this show than what Tony Khan had with Fyter Fest. That's just my opinion on that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I said earlier my prediction was NXT wins not by 150,000 like they did last week, but both shows promoted these special events. So if AEW doesn't go up, then there's something very, very wrong. Even if they lose, I mean, they dropped a lot last week. If they drop any further this week after promoting Fyter Fest as hard as they were promoting it, they got big problems to look at. So I would expect them to go up, but I think NXT will probably get the edge. I mean, they weren't screwing around, you know, this week. They were promoting that Great American Bash like it was a big deal. They put Sasha on the show. I'm looking forward to going back and watching that. Uh-huh. So I think we're on the same page. Probably a narrower NXT win, but hopefully both shows are up and hopefully both shows continue to do well because I enjoy what I see on Wednesdays a hell of a lot more than what I enjoy when I see on Mondays.
No, it's just funny. It's the first time since October 3rd when they debuted. I never had the urge, maybe, what's on the other channel? Tonight, I don't know why.
Competition, man. Competition.
Yeah, I know, man.
Light a fire under their ass.
You have a great night. Yes, there is. All
right.
And, you know, Vince ain't having that. But you have a great night, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Take care. Yeah, I mean, look, I say it all the time, man. Competition. Competition's a great thing. It lights a fire under your ass. It makes you want to be better. It's good. It's good that NXT decided to put their best foot forward these next 2 weeks. Anybody saying that, oh, well, we're not... You know, the Great American Bash, it's a July thing. It has nothing to do with AEW doing Fighter Fest. You're full of shit. You're full of shit. Anybody who says that is full of shit, don't listen to them. Listen to me. Don't listen to them. And there's nothing wrong with it. Just because NXT is doing this to compete with AEW, I would do the same thing if I were Triple H. No mercy. Not the event. I mean, just, you know, no mercy. Show no mercy. Maybe that'll be the next big NXT event. They'll bring back No Mercy. Let's do one last whirl at Twitter here. AEW right on the dot, 82 to 18, compared to 71 to 28 for the Great American Bash. Remember, this is only week one. We got another week of this. So if you're a fan of both shows, then you're in for a treat. And I'll be back here with you again next week to recap all the AEW stuff as I am every single Wednesday. Turtlehead, thank you for the $5 earlier. 26 minutes ago, to be exact. Shout out to his clients in the chat. Yeah, he loves doing that. Reekin Sun, thank you for the whole batch of super chats. And Dry Chicken Without Flavor, play Bret Hart's theme song on Canada. I would play it here on the stream if I wouldn't be hit by a copyright strike, so I'm not going to do that. In fact, when I'm done streaming, I'll play some Bret Hart music, and not that music he used when he came back in 2010. I'm going to play the real Bret Hart music. I'm going to play the mono theme from 1988, and then we'll go into the new one from 94. One of the best theme songs in company history. Jim Johnston, man. That guy, he deserved better. Jim Johnston deserved better. By the way, I saw Jim Johnston popped up on Twitter. Had people tweeting me, is this the real Jim Johnston? Ever since I got burned years ago, everybody got burned by that fake Bobby Heenan account when Bobby Heenan was still alive, but he couldn't really talk. And all of a sudden, his official account popped up on Twitter, and it was like his wife supposedly was like, oh, yeah, Bobby, it's great. He can communicate now with his fans online. Because I always thought to myself, you know, if he's having issues speaking, get him on Twitter. Like, he would kill on Twitter. Are you kidding me? And then he popped up on there, and he was answering questions, and you had wrestlers fall for it. And they were retweeting it. Hey, follow the brain, the greatest manager of all time. And I was so excited. And then Bobby's wife found out about it, and she relayed a message saying, please let everybody know that Bobby is not on social media. And I was devastated. I was heartbroken. Because I was so excited to see him on this. Ever since I got burned by that, I don't buy it. Unless there's a blue check mark or I get some kind of a picture of the person holding up a photo saying, this is my account, I don't believe it. So anybody who is wondering if that's the real Jim Johnston, unless we get real firm proof, assume that it's a fake. So I'm going to assume that's not really him. Anyway, follow me on Twitter at Solomonster. I will be back with episode 659 of the full podcast on all the usual platforms this Sunday. And had a huge audience downloading episode 658 this past week. I'm hoping things die down a little bit in terms of the news so I can just breathe a little bit and not have to cover all this awful stuff, allegations and COVID and all this other garbage. Let's get back to wrestling, you know? So RSPW Rewind's up also from this past week. Check that out if you're a fan of that segment. I'm trying to spread them out. I'm running out of posts. I got to find new ones. So if I burn through too many posts too soon, the segment's going to be over in a matter of weeks. So I'm trying to take my time with it. But people do seem to enjoy it. So hopefully we'll keep that going for a while. But again, thank you for joining me tonight, guys. Thank you for choosing me for your Dynamite recap week one of Fighter Fest. I very much appreciate it. Don't forget, before I forget, I do want to just remind everybody who may be interested, even if it's not my store, maybe there's some other shirt you've been eyeballing on Pro Wrestling Tees. There it is, the Code America. Get 20% off all shirts on PWTs now through Saturday. And if you would, you certainly could pick up one from the Sound Off store. You won't get any argument out of me. You got a whole bunch of them to choose from. So that, of course, is entirely up to you. I'm out of here. Have yourselves a great week. I will be back on Sunday and, of course, next Wednesday live for more of the AEW Dynamite action. So until then, take care, guys, and I will see you for more Sound Off on Sunday. Take care, guys.